All right, guys, it's time for Slump Buster Fantasy Football, episode 27. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get a Minshew Mania on three. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Slump Buster. Quiet on the set. Make sure my mic is on. Eris, Dre, and Juju Dog diving towards the pylon. Go for two, so damn rude. Recognize authority. Spitting tips for fantasy. No way you're outscoring me. Bold predictions with conviction every single day. Sports addiction, no restriction. Kicking game like Pele. He's the greatest. What's the basis? Pick an athlete. Let's debate this game. Outrageous trading places. Sudden death, take 10 paces. Turn and shoot. Boys of truth. Mamba mentality. Future greats take their place. Dreams become reality. Blowing outside, knocked it out the park. Your boy discovered fire like a rock with a spark. Refs acting like Neanderthals. Phantom flags, nothing calls. Heartbreak losses, tragic falls. Every week discuss it all. Settle in, listen up. Free your time like Andrew Luck. Show's about to start. I suggest you buckle up.
All right, guys, it's just Juju Talk Sports here as Eris Blakenly, the fantasy aristotle himself, is currently on a tour of load management, currently out camping. What's up? Come on, Eris, we got a job to do, and that is to get some green in your pockets. So let's talk about each position. Let's go through these top 10 versus our rankings, see how each team did after week one. Let's start off at the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers. This man is determined to prove me wrong. It's like Aaron Rodgers, every time I talk a little bit of shit about this guy, he decides to go off. Well, in week one, he decided to do that against the Minnesota Vikings to the tune of 4 touchdowns, 364 yards. Betting on your fantasy score, you get more or less high 30s, low 40s. In our rankings, our consensus rankings here on the website, certainly wasn't the number one overall quarterback, donning back to 2014 Aaron Rodgers. We had him at 14. So what can you expect from this guy moving forward? Well, if he plays the Vikings the rest of the games, you're going to be fine. However, he's got a lot of tough games coming on the schedule. He's got the Niners. He's got the Vikings again. He's got the Bears. I expect Aaron Rodgers to come back down to earth a little bit. Year two of the Matt LaFleur offense, so he may have an opportunity to develop and grow more in that system. Only time will tell. As far as Russell Wilson, so Russell Wilson finished right behind him, also had a 4-touchdown performance, also threw for over 300 yards against that paltry Atlanta Falcons defense. So some things don't change. Atlanta Falcons, still a great matchup for your quarterbacks, your wide receivers. Definitely fire up those two positions if you have the opportunity to. Russell Wilson, he's pretty much as close as you get to a set him and forget him. There may be some weeks later in the season against the Niners where you may have to think about it. But for the most part, Russell Wilson is a staple in your lineup. Right behind him is, of course, his counterpart on the other side of the field, Matt Ryan. 450 yards, a couple touchdowns. This might be one of those years where Matt Ryan, even if the team isn't that good around him, he just managed to keep producing offensively. He's going to throw a high amount of passing yards. The big make or break difference on Matt Ryan is going to be whether or not he has the touchdowns this year. He has weapons to do it. Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, not to worry there. Hayden Hurst is probably going to get some touchdowns. Todd Gurley had a touchdown. We will get to him later when we talk about the running backs. Next up, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, you know you have a high base floor with his rushing upside. What he's able to do as a passer, though, has really developed. 3 touchdowns against the Cleveland Browns. And might I just say, the Cleveland Browns, hapless franchise. I don't know if they're ever going to fully turn around. I think the fact that they had a more gutless performance than the Washington football team and the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars pretty much tells you everything you need to know about the Cleveland Browns franchise. Josh Allen, 312 yards, 2 touchdowns against the New York Jets. I believe he also threw in a rushing touchdown. Josh Allen, as long as he keeps running, as long as he keeps scrambling, he's going to have upside. If you are an owner, you are definitely a bit peeved at him that he missed a late touchdown to Stephon Diggs at the back of the end zone. But as long as he keeps putting out performances like this, you won't hold it against him too much. Josh Allen, I will continue to fire him up. Again, you're going to face the Patriots. Those are going to be some tough defenses later on. But for the most part, I think Josh Allen is going to be a high floor quarterback one option in most leagues. Kyler Murray. Now, this one killed me on Sunday, obviously, as a Niners fan. Seeing Kyler Murray escape the pocket, find DeAndre Hopkins 15 times this game was infuriating. But between the rushing and what this guy can do as a passer, Kyler Murray is a legit threat in fantasy to be fantasy football quarterback number one overall when this thing all finishes. I think just when you consider the base level of that offense, high volume in that air raid system, that Cliff Kingsbury system, I understand why people are high on him in fantasy. In terms of the real life game, he still has some stuff that he needs to clean up. But for the most part, Kyler Murray is going to be a guy that you just want to consistently have in your lineup. And guess what? He faces the Washington football team this week. So looking forward to that. Right behind him, a guy that led a fourth quarter comeback. Yes, Mitchell Trubisky. Guys, can you believe that people doubted that this man was drafted in front of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun? Because I can't. Like, come on. Those guys never lead fourth quarter comebacks, do they? Not against the vaunted defense of the Detroit Lions. But on a serious note, Mitch Trubisky, he was a relevant fantasy option 2 years ago. I think that you may be able to put him in the right matchup. Matt Nagy is a talented offensive coordinator and is going to do things in positions that are going to increase Mitch Trubisky's floor against defenses like the New York Giants, who he actually faces this week. So if you're in a deep league, if you're in a two-quarterback league, I might consider starting Mitch Trubisky this week. Heck, if you have a super flex and you just want to try something, because the New York Giants defense is bad. They don't have any playmakers. Big Ben, coming off of Tommy John surgery, was able to have a decent game against them. Now, here's a guy I've dubbed as the trash man, and he didn't have to pick up any trash this past week. Gardner Minshew. Now, Gardner Minshew was in a lot of my starting lineups, and I enjoyed having him. 3 touchdowns. That's 2 more touchdowns than incompletions he had. He went 19 for 20 on this afternoon. 173 yards, so not a ton of passing yards, but he was able to be efficient with what he had against the Indianapolis Colts. And why I like Gardner Minshew overall this year, similar to why I like Blake Bortles in 2017, the amount of times that the Jaguars are going to be in negative game scripts, you can expect Gardner Minshew to be able to consistently need to battle and keep his team in games. That's going to be great upside for DJ Chark. That's going to be great upside for Laviska Shenault. I think that Gardner Minshew is, at the end of the year, going to be a quarterback one option. Back end, probably not going to be in that high five guys, but I definitely like Gardner Minshew this year. And if he's still available in your league, I would do what I can to get him on your team. Now, this one catches me off guard, but at 9, we have Patrick Mahomes. So Patrick Mahomes only finished 9. He was in the first game of the year. Out of sight, out of mind, you may have already forgot about Thursday night. I know the Houston Texans will do everything in their power to forget about Thursday night. You know what you're getting with Patrick Mahomes. I don't need to tell you too much. I don't need to break down why Patrick Mahomes is a great fantasy quarterback to have. If you know, you know. And at 10, we closed it out with Ben Roethlisberger. Again, was able to expose a poor New York Giants defense. This week, he's going to get Denver. Out of those quarterbacks I mentioned in the top 10, probably the best matchups are going to be Aaron Rodgers against Detroit and Lamar Jackson against Houston. So both of those guys can probably run it back this coming week. Now, how that compares against our consensus top 10. Dak Prescott was a little bit disappointing. Didn't do much against that Rams defense on the Sunday night game. Carson Wentz was really disappointing. Had a horrible second half of his game. When it comes to both these quarterbacks, I think when you think about what's going on with Dak, you just look at the pieces on offense he has around him, whether that be CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, who, by the way, and I hate giving the Cowboys any bit of credit, but that was not an OPI call. Cowboys fans, you officially got screwed. That was one of the worst calls since no catch. So I will give that to you. That should have been a lot of fantasy points too for owners of Michael Gallup and Dak Prescott that was taken off the board. I know a lot of people are going to be bitter following that performance by the referees, but just know that Dak Prescott should be due for a bounce back week. His current week opponent is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. Again, we just talked about Atlanta, not a good defense, definitely a defense you can take advantage of. When it comes to Carson Wentz, on the other hand, he is going to be facing those Rams. His offensive line is not good, guys. Aaron Donald is going to be able to tear through that. A rookie pass rusher, Chase Young, was giving Carson Wentz a whole lot of trouble, and he was sacked 8 times. Now, you'd hate to hear that when it comes to Carson Wentz. This is a guy with an injury history. I do think that overall, when you look at the numbers at the end of the year, I think he's going to have plenty of touchdowns, and that's going to have him some pop weeks. But I'm not starting Carson Wentz if I can help it against the Rams. That is my analysis there. So that's going to do it for the quarterback position. Let's switch up to running back. Now, your number one running back on the week was Josh Jacobs. What I'll tell you there, Luke Kuechly isn't walking back through that door in Carolina. So if you have a running back facing those Carolina Panthers, I am tempted to fire him up. They are facing Tampa Bay this week. I'm looking at Leonard Fournette. I'm looking at Ronald Jones. I probably like Ronald Jones a little bit better as Leonard Fournette continues to get more familiar with the offense. But I would not be surprised if you told me, out of your flex, Leonard Fournette was able to fall into the end zone against that Carolina Panthers defense. Again, they have no ability to stop the run, and Josh Jacobs took advantage of that to the tune of 3 touchdowns. So Josh Jacobs, I like him a lot this year. I hate him this week. He's going to be going against the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans does a fantastic job against the run. If you don't believe me as to their defensive prowess overall, ask Tom Brady. Not a fun matchup. Steer clear of starting Josh Jacobs, or at least being as confident in Josh Jacobs to put up the same amount of production this coming week. You know who you can be confident in, though? His name is Run CMC. This guy has finished as the number one overall running back last year, and he's off to a great pace again. Put up about 26 fantasy points this week, and he's going against Tampa Bay as well. So the other side of that matchup there. With Christian McCaffrey, again, I don't have to break it down that much. It's simple. You're playing him. You're playing him, especially in this matchup. Zeke, the number three overall finisher against Atlanta. Easy call there. And then Malcolm Brown of the Los Angeles Rams had a great game against Dallas. Really did. But what I'm going to tell you is going to be a little bit dismaying for all of you people that are going to be picking up Malcolm Brown on waivers this week. Sean McVay has said, been on record saying, that he wants this team to do a more committee backfield, similar to what Kyle Shanahan was doing with San Francisco, what the Packers and LaFleur want to do in Green Bay. They don't want just a one bell cow back. So Malcolm Brown will have some good games, but so will Cam Akers. So will Daryl Henderson. It's going to be a very hard offense to predict week to week. As much as Malcolm Brown performed this Sunday night, I'm not confident in his long-term fantasy upside. Naheem Hines, similarly, finished as the number five running back this week. Based off what Minnesota did last week, they're allowing a ton on the ground, but I expect them to buckle down. I expect Jonathan Taylor to take a much bigger workload, and I don't expect Naheem Hines to be as relevant. I still might consider him as a flex option this week because, bare minimum, you know Naheem Hines is going to be in there on third down passing work. Right behind him, Raheem Mostert. Now, most of Raheem Mostert's production on the day is elevated because of a 70-yard touchdown. Hey, if you're a Raheem Mostert owner and you benefit from that touchdown, fantastic. I did see a lot of McKinnon out there Sunday. I did see some Coleman mixed in. There are going to be some weeks where Raheem Mostert isn't leading the pack, but at the same time, fire him up as your running back too. The big play potential is always going to be there with someone like with Raheem Mostert's speed. As soon as he hits that gas pedal, he's gone. That's a touchdown. No one's catching up to him. So Raheem Mostert, for the most part, is going to be an easy start, especially this week against the New York Jets. If you're expecting the Niners to have a bounce back game, the New York Jets, they're definitely the cure, the remedy right there. Chris Carson going against the New England Patriots. So Sunday night, I'm looking forward to this matchup. It's going to be fantastic. Get a rematch of the 2014 Super Bowl, one of my favorite Super Bowls of my lifetime. Chris Carson, I think as long as this guy's healthy, he's a running back one. No doubt about it. He started off the season big, had a couple touchdowns against Atlanta. I think he's going to keep it up. I don't like New England's ability to stop the run overall. I think that losing guys like Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower, all the losses in their linebacking core is going to make them a little bit more susceptible. And I expect a big game from Chris Carson. Dalvin Cook, Indy got DeForest Buckner this year. They're going to be a little bit better against the run. Darius Leonard. Tons of great guys to have on your team. Dalvin Cook, you're probably just forced to start him because you really don't have any options. Still, just know that might not be the best day at the office next week. Alvin Kamara against Las Vegas Raiders, on the other hand, on Monday night. Oh, this is going to be fun. If you're looking for a 30-point pop week from Kamara this year, this is the one right here. The Raiders defense, they allowed 30-plus points against Carolina with a first-year coach and a middling quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not going to go too harsh on Teddy Bridgewater, but I don't think Teddy Two Gloves is supposed to be lining up the scoreboard week in and week out. Certainly not to the tune of 30 points. This Raiders defense is just as bad as it was last year or the year before that. Go ahead and put in your fantasy players against them. And at 10, rounding it out, the Rook, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a guy I am super high on overall this year in fantasy. I took this guy over both Cook, Kamara. I believe in the Andy Reid offense. I believe in it for running backs. You look at what Jamal Charles did for years. You look at what Brian Westbrook did for years. Heck, Damian Williams last year. The year before that, Kareem Hunt. Bell cow running backs benefit in the Andy Reid system. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to benefit a ton. You don't love that he was stopped 6 times on the goal line, but I think that was more a product of the offensive line. J.J. Watt was just living and breathing in that backfield. Expect that to make a quick change. And by the way, he wasn't targeted once in the passing game. At LSU, this man ate up targets. Expect them to get him more involved, and with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's floor is going to be more than sufficient to win you most weeks. Okay, so how does that stack up against our original consensus ranks? So Derrick Henry at 6 against Denver Monday night. He was fed a ton of carries, finished outside that top 10. I think when it comes to Henry, and one of my biggest issues with him overall as a fantasy prospect is his lack of involvement in the pass game. I know that they said that they want to get more involved this year, and I would, on a just a little swing route, that guy could get in space, get some momentum, and bowl people over, especially an outside corner. But we still haven't seen the proof in the pudding. We still don't know he's an efficient player on third down. And that's always going to put him, his floor, a little lower than a lot of those other running backs on that tier. So that was my concern when people were drafting him in the first round this year. I do think better weeks are ahead. He's generally been a slow starter, but at least the amount of touches he was given in that game shows that the Tennessee offense is committed to using him this year. They really only have two backs on the roster. So Derrick Henry's going to get plenty of touches. It's just going to be a matter of him being efficient with those touches because other teams know what the Titans want to do. So if Ryan Tannehill struggles, so will Derrick Henry. Joe Mixon and Austin Ekeler at 8 and 9. So they were both involved in a pretty tight game. Now, as far as Austin Ekeler is concerned, he is going to be a very relevant PPR option, obviously, throughout the year. I think the amount of targets he gets is going to keep him on that edge of being a running back one consistently. However, I do have my concerns. He has never received more than about 170 touches in a given year. And behind him, I actually like that Josh Kelly kid. I like some of the runs that I was seeing from him this week. And I would not be surprised if you saw more of him mixed in on first and second down. He's a more powerful kid, got more push, and will certainly be able to fight for more yards than Austin Ekeler. And as far as what you can expect from Austin Ekeler this week, I expect them to be in a negative game situation against the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs like to throw the ball around a lot, get a lead, and make it as difficult for the opposing offense as possible. I think this is going to be a week that's really going to test Tyrod Taylor out and how far that Anthony Lynn wants to take it with the veteran quarterback. He does have that number 6 overall pick on his bench. I would not be surprised if you told me Justin Herbert's numbers get called if they're down by a ton. And if so, you're going to want a guy who can really be dynamic in the passing game, and that's Austin Ekeler all the way. He's probably going to have at least 6 to 7 receptions this week as they try and come back on the Chiefs at some point in this game. So I like Austin Ekeler. Go ahead and fire him up this week in either your running back one or running back two positions. At 10, Alvin Kamara, as mentioned. Again, Alvin Kamara is going to be fine this week as well.
This is a message brought to you by the Foundation for a Perfect Package.
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Because the only frill I want is the one up top.
Because being in a relationship is not an excuse to be lazy.
Because I like talking ball, not smelling like them.
Because deforestation is proven to prevent forest fires.
Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped's Crop Preserver guarantees that you smell your best all day long.
Manscaped Boxer Briefs are the most comfortable underwear on the market.
Manscaped's advanced skincare technology makes nicks a thing of the past.
Manscaped is the number one in men's grooming. Subscribers get 2 free blade refills every 3 months. Get 20% off plus free shipping and handling with the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. That's the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. Get your Lawnmower 3.0 today.
We are the Slump Busters.
And we approve this message.
All right, guys, let's get into the wide receiver position. So leading the pack, Davante Adams. This guy was electric. In fact, Slump Buster Bob, entire Sunday was ruined by Davante Adams. And I'm sure he ruined a lot of his opponents' Sundays because this man went off. He had a day. 14 receptions, 156 yards, 2 touchdowns. When you say ownage is ownage, this applies to Davante Adams versus the Vikings. As tough as that defense has been the last several years, you can always count on Davante Adams manning to burn them, get a couple touchdowns, fight for yards, whether it's Xavier Rhodes in his peak all-pro years or some rookies that they drafted this year. When it comes to Davante Adams and he sees that purple on the other side of the sideline, he knows it's time for a big week. And he was the number one overall wide receiver this week. Next game around, he's going to get the Detroit Lions. Expect the same amount of production. At number 2, you had Calvin Ridley. Again, the Falcons were in a negative game script the entire game. They might be in the same position against Dallas this week. So Calvin Ridley, I like him as a high wide receiver too, and I would start him against this Dallas secondary. I don't think they're that dynamic in stopping the pass either way, but the fact that I expect the Falcons offense to be trailing only adds to why I think Calvin Ridley and, of course, Julio Jones are going to be more than fine this week. At number three, you had Adam Thielen. So the Vikings were playing catch-up all game. He had a late touchdown. Adam Thielen gets the Colts this week. Potential matchup against former teammate Xavier Rhodes. Adam Thielen, sure floor. Justin Jefferson's not that involved in this passing game yet. He is going to be on the back end of that wide receiver one consistently. I like Adam Thielen. Darius Slayton, this man needs to get some respect on his name. He has the most receiving touchdowns going back to week five of 2019. Daniel Jones looks his way. I think that's from the chemistry of them both being rookies last year and having to develop as backups. And that's carried into the games. Golden Tate, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, they are not on the same page with Daniel Jones like Darius Slayton is. And I think that moving forward, Darius Slayton is going to be someone that you're going to want to just put in your roster because any given week, he can catch a touchdown. When it's in those situations and Daniel Jones needs to score, he looks for this guy. Darius Slayton might just be the breakout candidate of 2020 that we needed. But he does play Chicago this week, so I do have my concerns. DeAndre Hopkins against Washington football team. Easy start. Painful to watch this man on Sunday as he proceeded to catch everything that was thrown his way by Kyler Murray. A career-high 14 receptions for DeAndre Hopkins. I had my concerns. New offense, new quarterback, new system. How is DeAndre Hopkins going to translate? It turns out his skill set translates just fine. DeAndre Hopkins is a stud. Easy start, easy call. DeAndre Hopkins, just go ahead and fire him up because bare minimum, he's going to get a ton of receptions, a ton of targets. Clearly, Kyler Murray is working his way, or at least that was the game plan in week one. Julio Jones finished next. Again, Julio Jones, don't need to tell you much. Robbie Anderson. So the biggest acquisition, I guess, aside from Teddy Bridgewater that you would say for the Carolina Panthers, signing away from the Jets. Robbie Anderson, when you consider, of course, the off-the-field stuff, and you consider having to overcome Adam Gase and the coaching of the New York Jets. He's always had the skill set to be a wide receiver one, and he's shown plenty of flashes through it. I just don't think that the Carolina Panthers are going to throw the ball or put the ball in the air enough to really give this guy consistent week in and week out value. Against Tampa Bay, I am probably going to put him on the bench. That's at least my analysis move forward. Jamison Crowder of the New York Jets is one of those guys that just gets peppered with targets. He's not going to have these huge weeks yardage and touchdown wise, but if he's getting 9 receptions, 10 receptions, you can't keep him out of your lineup. That's a guaranteed 8 to 10 points, bare minimum, which is more than suitable, more than startable. If you can throw him in your flex, go ahead. Juju Smith-Schuster. This is a player that had plenty of good juju this week. As far as Juju Smith-Schuster is concerned, so 2 touchdowns against the Giants. Giants are a horrible defense. I think there was a little bit of chemistry issues between Big Ben and Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson still did pull down his fair amount of targets himself, but I think there's going to be a little back and forth between Juju and Deontay on who's going to be the favorite wide receiver week to week. It just so happened that the touchdown luck was on Juju Smith-Schuster's side. He stole a week one victory away from me in one of my leagues, and a little bit bitter. I thought the Juju's were supposed to be kinder to each other, but apparently I was wrong in this regard. Juju Smith-Schuster, I still want to do a podcast with you because I think we could all use a little bit more Juju for you. Slide into Juju Smith-Schuster's DMs for me, guys. We got to make this happen. Okay, this is a tough one for me. Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins was perhaps one of the favorite receivers of one Patrick Mahomes in week one against the Texans on Thursday night. All eyes were on him. 7 receptions, 82 yards, and a touchdown. But much is the case with Sammy Watkins throughout his career. The inconsistencies. Tyreek Hill's still there. Travis Kelce's still there. Mecole Hardman's getting a little bit more work. I mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire earlier. These guys are all preferred targets over Sammy Watkins in this offense. I don't think he's going to have 7 receptions week in and week out. I think that's an unrealistic floor to set for him. He might pull down a touchdown and that's going to inflate his value, but you're going to have to just throw dart throws when it comes to Sammy Watkins. Now, I have no problem with throwing darts when you're talking about the Chiefs offense, but it depends on how comfortable you are in a fantasy owner in the rest of your starting lineup. So Sammy Watkins, well, he is going to give you some good weeks, and his end of the year numbers might look pretty solid this year. I'm not putting my faith in the guy. Not yet. Not after just one week one performance. Settle down there, Sammy Watkins fans. I think some regression is ahead for the former first round wide receiver out of Clemson. All right, guys. So that does it for the top 10 actual wide receivers. Let's talk about the top 10 in our consensus versus what actually happened. At number four, we had Tyreek Hill. He did have a touchdown against the Texans, but again, it was the Sammy Watkins show on Thursday night. So did not have enough targets to elevate his stock and at least put him ahead of some other guys. Tyreek Hill is going to just have those monster weeks, those 35-point weeks from time to time. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to Tyreek Hill. He's going to be back in that top 10. He may even be back this coming week against the Chargers. Actually, he's definitely going to be in the top 10 against the Chargers. Tyreek Hill tears apart the Chargers. I don't know what personal vendetta he has against them, whether it's as a special teamer, a runner, a wide receiver. He always seems to have his best game whenever he sees that thunderbolt on the other sideline. So Tyreek Hill, fire him up this week. At number five, we had Chris Godwin. Not the best game for Tampa Bay. I think we can all agree on that. Two interceptions, one of them a pick six by Tom Brady. Jameis Winston just rolling his eyes on the sideline. But I think I saw enough from Chris Godwin to tell me that this guy's going to be a stud still. It's going to be fine. Chris Godwin is pretty much the type of wide receiver that Tom Brady likes, a nice possession type wide receiver. I think his colleague there, Mike Evans, might be in more trouble battling through that hamstring issue. He's more of a contested ball wide receiver himself. How much fantasy upside does Mike Evans have compared to Chris Godwin? At this moment, I'm taking Godwin in the matchup of the Tampa Bay wide receiving room. Allen Robinson was in the news today. Allen Robinson wants out of Chicago, or at least that's according to the rumor mill. Now, I've always appreciated Allen Robinson going back to his time in Duval County. This man has had Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky throwing the ball. Let's get him a break. Let's get him out to a quarterback that knows how to use him. Even with that horrible quarterback play I listed, though, he's been at the top of the wide receiver ranks time after time again. I think that Allen Robinson will bounce back. I wouldn't worry about it too much. I would have liked him to be a bigger part of that comeback against Detroit, but keep an eye on where he ends up. If he actually gets traded off the Chicago Bears, that could severely impact his stock. There may be a few teams out there, and I'd love to get some feedback on this, of where you think Allen Robinson would be the best fit if he does get traded. DJ Moore at eight. So as mentioned earlier, Robbie Anderson got the better half of the targets and the touchdowns this week. DJ Moore is facing a softer matchup against Tampa and potentially a negative game strip. I could see him gain a little bit more involved this week, and I do like DJ Moore to have a solid week too. So I am going to put him probably back in my top 10 this coming week. And then Robert Woods at 10. I had Robert Woods. I was actually surprised he wasn't in the top 10 this week. If I was actually look at where Robert Woods' ranking was amongst receivers, about top 15, about top 20, depending on your league scoring format. So it's not like he was a severe fall off. In fact, he put up decent numbers. Hello, guys. This is Juju Talk Sports. You like sports betting, right? Of course you do. You're listening to a fantasy football podcast, after all. Well, let me tell you about Razorsport.com. Razor is a worldwide sports betting network all designed around helping you. Their diverse crew of handicappers produce plays that Vegas Sharps don't want you to know about. Go to their website right now and sign up for a free trial at Razorsport.com. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. Proud partners of the Slump Buster podcast. Check them out and enjoy the rest of the show. Okay, let's talk about some quarterbacks this week that have what I would call good juju versus quarterbacks I think might have some bad juju heading into week two. And what I mean by that is basically a start-sit segment here, people, but I have to make it a little different. I have to add in my name, add in a pun. That's just what we do. That's how we make this a different show. So, not start sit, good juju, bad juju. Let's talk about some guys I like. I've really touted Gardner Minshew. I really like him. But this week, Gardner Minshew has bad juju. He's facing the Tennessee Titans. I do think that there's a possibility of a negative game script and Gardner Minshew having an opportunity to battle out of it. However, the Tennessee Titans defense is one that I do think this is going to continue to develop. Jadeveon Clowney and his first game didn't look the most dynamic, but I do think that that's going to be fixed over time. And I do like the possibility of the Titans just overall having a good game against the Jacksonville Jaguars and this being a very low scoring game. So if you're not getting touchdowns, that is going to be very discouraging. Another guy I potentially see having a rough week, a week that just filled with bad juju. I don't like Matt Ryan. I know I like his wide receivers, and I'm still going to probably throw them out there, but I do have my questions as far as Matt Ryan being able to do a lot against this Dallas Cowboys defense. In general, he's not the most mobile guy in the world, and the one thing you would say about this Cowboys defensive line is they can get at the quarterback. I think he's going to be on his back a lot of the game, and very hard to throw for a lot of touchdowns when you're looking up at the stadium ceiling. I have my reservations about Matt Ryan. Let's talk about quarterbacks that have some good juju heading into this week. Dak Prescott mentioned his name earlier against that Atlanta defense, due to have a solid game. And I like him this week. I would fire him up. As far as another quarterback option to potentially throw your way, Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill actually had a lot of throws, a lot more throws than a lot of people were expecting on Monday Night Football against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have a lack thereof of a secondary. Phillip Rivers had a pretty good game against them, aside from the late interceptions and giving it away in the fourth quarter, as he is one to do. Ryan Tannehill, I like the ability for them to want to be able to get ahead early and then just run Derrick Henry just through that opposing defense. Put Ryan Tannehill for a couple of touchdowns. That guy's got some good juju on his way. As far as guys that have some good juju at the running back position, so I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor. I know he didn't get the lion's share of the carries like we were hoping when Marlon Mack went down, but I think that that's going to change this week. He has a solidified role. I don't think Mack's going to be playing in this game. If he does, it's by some miracle. So Jonathan Taylor, a guy they drafted in the second round, go ahead and give that man the ball, and he's going to do amazing things out there against a Minnesota Vikings defense that got torn up the previous week in week one. I think that this is a perfect opportunity for the rookie to showcase why he was drafted so high and some of the skills that he displayed in college. Equally, too, I believe that, and this is an easy call, Alvin Kamara is due for a huge week against the Las Vegas Raiders. You want to talk about a matchup that just screams good juju? Alvin Kamara versus the Raiders on Monday Night Football. That should be an easy call. Lock it in. I'm going to put Alvin Kamara down for 30-plus points in that matchup. Might be one of my boldest calls of the week. Let's certainly hope not. As far as running backs that have some bad juju, let's talk about what's going on there with Melvin Gordon. So Melvin Gordon's playing the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Fun fact, Big Ben, and you've probably seen the meme already, had more rushing yards than Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley had 6 rushing yards altogether. Melvin Gordon's not getting the bulk of that carries. Phillip Lindsay's getting mixed in. I don't like either one of them in the matchup, but Melvin Gordon's probably going to be the one that's going to get started by most fantasy owners. I would steer clear of this. If you can avoid starting Melvin Gordon, do not put him against this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. That just screams bad juju. Similarly too, David Johnson. I like David Johnson's burst. I think he's one of my favorite plays in fantasy football this year for his entire season, except week 2 against Baltimore. Baltimore is going to make it as tough as possible for the Houston Texans. And the only way Houston's going to be able to compete in this game is if they are able to do it through the air. So that's going to be hopefully bigger weeks for Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, and Randall Cobb. But there's not going to be a lot of positive game script for them to be able to run the ball with David Johnson. I think this is a poor matchup for him. Baltimore's going to be one of the tougher run defenses in the league. David Johnson, that's a player with some bad juju heading into week 2. All right, at wide receiver, let's go ahead and run it back. Devontae Adams, he was the number 1 overall wide receiver in fantasy last week against the Detroit Lions. I think he's going to be able to do it once more. Devontae Adams, player with good juju, but you knew that. You want someone new. You want someone that's going to surprise you this week. Well, let me go ahead and tell you that DK Metcalf is actually going to have a solid game against All-Pro, the number 1 corner in the game, Stephon Gilmore. I think when it comes to a player that has really developed and is just a physical specimen, one that Russell Wilson relies on, it's DK Metcalf. It's the easiest, obvious thing. I know fantasy owners are going to be very discouraged to start DK in this matchup, given who he's potentially going to be lining up against. But I'm going to tell you that DK Metcalf is still going to put up a productive fantasy week, even against that vaunted Patriots secondary. So DK Metcalf, I'm going to say, has some good juju heading into week 2. Now, who has some bad juju? Who's someone that you want to stay clear of? I talked about him. Sammy Watkins had a huge week 1, not expecting it to be a consistent thing. So I'm going to fade Sammy Watkins moving forward, especially because I actually think that the Chargers secondary is pretty solid. So I don't think this is going to be nearly a matchup that you're just going to fire up Sammy Watkins coming off that huge week one. I think that we need to take a step back, and hopefully you didn't spend all your fab to get Sammy Watkins this week, because that's going to be one of those players that's going to be one of the more frustrating players to own in fantasy throughout this season. All right, guys, I'm going to head out of here, but before I do, I'm going to go ahead and give you a dart throw at tight end. I think Chris Herndon is probably going to continue to develop with Sam Darnold at tight end. So I'm going to say Chris Herndon, some good juju heading out. But overall, guys, so that's going to do it for this episode, episode 27 of the Slump Buster Fantasy Football Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. So episode, we don't do many of these. Remember, use promo code SLUMP to save 20% off plus free shipping and handling at manscaped.com. Use promo code SLUMP to get you some discounted caveman coffee. Check out our sponsor, Razer Sport. That's R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. And of course, like, comment, subscribe. Check out the Slump Buster on all the various podcast platforms, at Slump Buster Podcast on IG, at Slump Buster Pod on Twitter. Stay safe, happy, and healthy. And we'll see you next time.